Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined once again by my brother, Anthony Bongiorno.
Hello, everyone.
My brother and yours, Anthony
Bongiorno. Hi, everyone. I'm really happy to be back.
How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. A truthful and sober answer.
You could have just said, I'm a little congested.
Okay. That's all right.
It's winter time.
Well, you and I don't know if it's all her family, but you and I have a deviated septum.
From all the cocaine you did.
I also have, yes, that's
an
how
hour,
you get it.
Just an hour ago.
And I also have, he said narrow passageways.
I definitely have narrow passageways.
And he also said that my sinuses are very, very, like, they could be irritated very, very easily.
Sensitive passageways.
Yeah. I said, what should I do about it? He was like, well, the air in New York's bad. You might want to move to someplace.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, I guess nothing then.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never gotten it checked out, but I feel like I always have a stuffy nose.
I, like, this is how much I can breathe through my nose. It's super labored.
Me too.
It's super labored. And I meditate, not that I'm better than you, but I meditate every day. And so much of meditation is based on breathing, and I have to, like, find meditation that's not based on breathing.
Ooh, that's tough.
Right, because you just need a home base. So most people use breathing, but you could use anything, and I use, like, other things.
What do you use?
Like, the feeling of my, you know, skin on the ground, or the feeling of a breeze on me, or the sound of something.
You know, that's interesting. I've tried to meditate, and I haven't been very successful. I wonder if that's why, because now that you say that, I do feel like I got very in my head about, like, oh, I feel like I can't breathe.
Right. Once I start monitoring my breath, I feel like I'm choking and can't breathe.
Yeah, which is the opposite of what you're going for in meditation. Right.
But what I would say is that I'm not good at meditation. That's the thing of meditation, is like, you're never good at it. You just, like, get a little better, but still you'll never be good at it.
Yeah.
And there's something valuable out of it. But people are like, oh, I can't shut my brain off. It's like, yeah, that's literally what it's supposed to be training you to do.
Just begin again.
Right. Yeah. Right. Just, like, don't judge yourself. Just bring yourself back to thinking about nothing.
And note your thoughts non-judgmentally and dismiss them.
Yes.
So this has been meditation.
Yes.
Man children.
So what we're talking about today is, usually we talk about stuff we've seen.
But not tonight.
Whoa, today we're talking about stuff we haven't seen.
Well, half of us have seen.
That's right. We are describing the plots of movies we have not seen, but know a little bit about.
So here's, should we explain the idea?
Flesh sure.
It out a little bit?
Yeah.
So my idea was, there are plenty of movies that I've seen that you have not, and vice versa.
Sure.
Because we have pretty different tastes.
Yes.
So my thinking was, based on what we know from, you know, just like the poster.
Yeah, the world.
Ads, the world. Construct a plot, some plot beats, and then afterwards we will rate each other in terms of how close we got to the actual thing. I'm going to warn you, I think that yours are probably more realistic than mine.
You were just trying to be more humorous.
I'm not even trying to be humorous. I was just like, I know nothing about these movies. Let's have at it. What do I think could happen based on what I know?
To be honest with you, one that I gave you is really hard because it actually doesn't have a plot, which is Eraserhead.
Avengers Endgame.
No, come on.
Slam.
Oh, well, let's side note. I am so happy that Ant-Man is doing so poorly, and there's all these think pieces about the end of Marvel, because maybe we can will it into happening.
I certainly hope so. I also want to point out that you gave me Avengers Endgame. I'm pretty sure I was physically present at a showing of this movie, but I couldn't stay conscious.
I was with you. You saw Infinity War, which is the first part.
Good Lord. Okay.
You didn't see the second part, I imagine, unless you saw it without me, but I doubt you did.
If I did, I don't remember it.
I doubt you did.
I doubt I stayed awake.
So the three movies that I have seen that you haven't, that I gave you, were Eraserhead, Avengers Avengers Endgame, and what else?
Escape from New York.
Escape from New York.
Which I know nothing about.
Okay. Do you know who's in it?
Kurt Russell. That's the only thing I know.
And
the Statue of Liberty's head.
Yes. That's the it's literally the poster. You gave me Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Funny Girl, and Sex and the City 2. Let me tell you something. My description of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang kind of weaves in and out of Mary Poppins and Bedknobs.
They're going to say it weaves in and out of Sex and the City too.
Because I don't know. Like at one point, I was like, "Oh, they're on a flying bed." No, wait, that's Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Are there witches in this?
Well, I'll tell you that there are some superheroes that I've name checked in my Avengers that I'm sure are DC.
Like Batman.
At one point, I put Batman's there? Question mark. You could also tell based on the movies we chose for show, like who's the straight one and who's the gay one.
I don't know what you mean. Eraserhead is such an art movie. It barely, you can watch it and not know what it's about. Most people do. So it's real difficult. You probably have given it more of a story than it has.
I will tell you that I've seen like a scene of it when I was like in college for like some film class.
What did
or something.
You see?
I saw a scene of him with like a baby question mark. Yes. That's an ET.
Yes. Like an alien sperm baby thing.
Yeah.
I showed that. In
I worked backwards from that and the poster and the title.
I showed Eraserhead in a film class that I taught, and some people left.
Like never return, like never came
they
back.
They came back next week, but they were just like disgusted. Because the movie has a constant whirring, the movie nauseates you. It has a constant whirring sound in its background. So it's actually challenging to just watch. And some people are like, fuck this, and just left. So what do you think? David Lynch's, did you look up what, I don't know what years these are.
I have no idea.
Eraserhead is 1977, the same year as Star Wars and a lot of other good things.
Okay.
Eraserhead, as
as predicted.
As assumed by Anthony Bergeron. All right.
So it starts off with, I guess his name is Eraserhead. It starts off with E-Head as a little kid. In the playground. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is where I'm starting it. Yeah. In medias res, being bullied by a gang of kids saying, Eraserhead, Eraserhead, because his head is shaped like an eraser.
Yes. Thank you.
And that one of the kids says, what, are you going to erase me with your head? So he says, I'm not an eraser. I'm a person. Okay, cut to... okay, so that's the beginning.
20 years later.
That's 20 years later. He's an adult, but he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's in an insane asylum because he's spent his entire youth being
abused
for having an eraser head.
What does an eraser head mean to you?
Because he has that high, like, Kramer hair.
Okay.
And he looks like an eraser.
Right. And he can never cut it or do anything about
it. No, he can't. Absolutely cannot. I do remember there's a lumpy face girl.
Yes.
So I put here in the insane asylum, he meets lumpy face girl. Yes. And she's been teased her whole life because of her lumpy face.
Yes.
So then here's why I weaved in some knowledge. They have a baby together.
Yes.
And it looks like the little ET creature. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This baby ruins their lives. So he's fired from his job because the baby's crying all night. Mm-hmm. And won't let him sleep. He can't perform at work. He's fired. He's ostracized by the few friends that he does have, the other friends from the asylum, mm-hmm. with their deficiencies. That they're, you know, there's like a mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there's other people with like crazy heads.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see.
And then finally the lumpy face girl leaves him and he's a single dad.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the climax is just, it's him and the baby won't stop crying, because I do vaguely remember the baby crying and making like a wailing sound.
Yeah.
And then that's when he decides he's going to use his head to erase them, and then he erases both of them.
Okay.
And they no longer exist.
Wow. So on a scale on a scale of 1 to 5,
okay,
you did better than you did, like,
whoa,
I'd say like 3.
What?
6?
Well, I know it's like surrealist, so that's why I was like, okay, at the end he's gonna use his head to erase all of them from existence.
That doesn't happen.
Okay. I was hoping that happened.
There's Eraserhead. You don't see him as a kid.
Okay.
His name is Henry.
Okay. Why is the film called Eraserhead?
Because he has a dream or something where his head comes off and there's an eraser factory and they use his head to make erasers on pencils.
Oh, so it's not because his hair is shaped like an
Probably
eraser?
Probably both.
Okay.
It's like, it's either this other world Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be literal about it, it's like another planet or a post-apocalyptic planet. It's a planet that's always nighttime and everything's like industrial pipes and horrible shit. And life is horrible.
Okay.
And he does have a girlfriend that he gets pregnant. It's not Lumpy Face Girl.
Who's Lumpy Face Girl?
Lumpy Face Girl is the girl in the radiator. She lives in the radiator in his house. And
is she tiny?
I think the radiator is a portal to another world, like a heavenly kind of world. And she sings in heaven.
Why does she have a lumpy face?
I don't know. David Lynch is an artist, and who knows why anything's anything. Okay. And but where you got close, well, there's no insane asylum. There's no other people with heads.
Okay. Okay.
Where you got close was the kind of plot, which is the baby won't stop crying and the wife does leave. You were close there.
Okay.
I don't think she leaves him, but she leaves that night and goes, I'm going to my mother's house. I can't take this.
Because the baby thing.
Baby won't stop.
Do they ever explain why the baby looks like that?
No.
Okay.
But it's linked visually to like worms and sperm.
It seems like it's like very body horror-y.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the baby, he realizes the baby is sick. And then the baby turns into like a giant baby.
Okay.
And then the man in the moon, which is this character you see sometimes, which is like this weird guy who's like diseased and he's in this place
where there's
like all sorts of like levers and stuff. Some people read him as God. He kind of pulls some lever and I think everything stops existing.
Oh, so everything does stop existing at the end.
Yes.
Wow, so I did get pretty close.
You were fairly close.
Why does that happen at the end? Is the man in the moon, when you say man in the moon, I just always think of like the honeymooners or like Jackie Gleason's face in the moon.
No, let me see if I can find it. It's black and white, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Is it going to be gross?
I can't believe everything really stops existing at the end.
I mean, someone might argue that that's just
how does that? How was that communicated visually?
Everything stopped existing?
Yeah.
I think you just see space at that point. Oh, that's weird.
Was this an independent film?
Yes, it was. It was his first film. Yeah, it's very related to...
What more mainstream stuff has he done since then?
Like, this is The Man in the Moon.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
He's very scary looking. The most mainstream thing he did was a Disney movie called...
What?
What was it called? The Straight Story, which is about a guy who's dying and he wants to see his brother one last time. So he travels across America on a riding lawnmower to see his brother.
I've never heard of that.
And it's a Disney movie.
From when?
1996 something.
But it sounds like it's got some fantastical elements in it.
It's got some surrealism in it, but it's like it leans towards wholesome. Yeah. Rather than, I guess his most mainstream thing is the Twin Peaks, the original Twin Peaks TV show, because that was a hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, who directed Fight Club?
David Fincher.
That's not the same person.
No, it's not.
This is whom?
David Lynch.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I get them confused because their names sound very similar.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's... All right. Do you think I would like this movie?
You've got to be in a mood. I mean, you can't sit down with popcorn. You've got to be in a mood to like see art because it's not pleasing.
Yeah, it sounds very unpleasant. Is it... I'm trying to think why I even watched that scene for a class.
Oh, no. Maybe your teacher... I mean, when I showed it for surrealism.
Maybe that's what
And
it was.
I was also trying to like shake them up a little bit because they were also literal all the time. And, you know, their favorite movie was fucking The Avengers. So I was like...
Yeah.
I showed them something that I knew it would kill them to try to like find some sort of reality in it.
Okay. All right.
So you want me to start with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Sure.
I'm going to say this came out in 1966.
You're just guessing?
Yeah.
I don't know the year, but we'll find out after.
Okay.
I've seen this movie many, 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 many times.
Okay.
However, I just want a footnote. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time.
In a very long time.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, if you went to David Lynch and described it the way you just described it, he'd be like, yeah, that sounds right. That's what it's about. If that's what it's about to you, that's what it's about. I love it. I love dreaming stuff up. And then he'd smoke a cigarette in your face. Okay, so I'm going to do Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Okay.
It's about two blonde children, their dad and a good witch. They have a magic car that flies around. Mm-hmm. A bad guy with a mustache wants to get the car, so he dresses up in different disguises to try to trick the family. At some point, the car drives on water. The car has a bunch of Inspector Gadget type arms and stuff that comes out and does all sorts of tricks. The dad falls in love with the good witch. There's it's a live action Disney movie, so the middle drags. It ends with a race between the good people and the bad guy. And the bad guy has like a dumb sidekick who he hits a lot.
Okay.
How close?
actually pretty close. I just pulled it up because, like I said, I haven't seen it in a while. But I will say, even as a kid, what is it about live action Disney movies that they drag?
They just didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Because even as a kid, I'd always watch this, and I'm so familiar with the first 30 minutes. Yeah. And then like somewhere, I'm like, I don't know, somewhere in the middle, Nazis show up. I don't remember. Yeah. Like, because I always would fall asleep.
There were Nazis in this?
Or shut it off. I think there might be.
Oh, boy.
Or maybe that's entirely made up. I don't know. But there's no witch. I'll tell you that.
Oh,
that's Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, I think.
That's what I'm doing. Okay. Wait, is Angela Lansbury in this?
No. Okay. She's in Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. Dick Van Dyke is the dad. And he does have two children.
Are they blonde?
I think they are blonde.
Okay.
It was based on a novel by Ian Fleming, who invented James Bond. Yeah. It has the female lead is a woman named Truly Scrumptious.
Oh boy, that's a very James Bond name.
Who I think her dad like owns a candy factory.
Sure,
there's a whole set piece where they go to a candy factory.
And she's not a witch.
She's not a witch, but she plays like a candy whistle song.
And she's not magical in any way.
But the car is.
The car is magic, or it's sci-fi.
It's like magic.
Okay.
It's like Chitty will protect us. Oh. Like at one point, I think they are being chased, and it's like.
Does it go on water?
It flies. It does go on water.
Okay.
And it's there's like toys, like there's a, like an evil toy maker.
What?
Oh no! Wait, no. The toy maker is not evil.
Oh.
He does, but he's not evil. The toy maker Truly and Caractacus. God, it's been a long time since I've seen this movie, but now it's coming back to me. Yeah. At the end, they get married, and the car flies.
Dick Van Dyke.
And the car flies off.
Is that only at the end? Is it like Grease, or does the car fly throughout?
No, it flies throughout.
How do they get the car, though?
One day he like shows up. It's from 1968, but I think it.
Oh, I was off by 2 years.
I think it like takes place in like the early 20th century,
cars.
Where it's like where like cars are like a new thing.
Oh, I see.
And he's like, we got an automobile.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It takes place in 1909. And then it's like,
is it a musical?
It is. And the car makes a sound like a.
Okay.
So that's why they call it Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Interesting. Okay. You didn't touch on that. Why it would be called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Okay.
And there's the song. Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang. Chitty chitty bang bang. We love you.
Are there other songs? Or the
yeah, one? It's a musical.
Okay.
And then.
Who is the bad guy then, though?
Truly Scrumptious. Sorry, I'm looking at the song titles and now I'm remembering them.
Who's the villain? Who's the villain?
The nasty Baron Bomburst.
Okay.
The tyrant of fictional Vulgaria who wants to steal Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That's where I'm getting Nazis from, I think.
But I was right. I was right that he wants the car.
Yes. Yes, of course. It's about stealing the car.
Is there a race?
I think there's a chase.
There's a chase.
There's no race.
I thought there was a formalized race.
No, now I want to watch this.
Speaking of race, not race.
Pardon?
That was the term.
There are no race politics in this film.
Speaking of car racing.
Yeah.
I am all the way on board for the Pink Ladies.
Okay, so I was, then I wasn't. Now I'm in.
I wasn't because I was like, oh, what a stupid idea. And then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. I like this a lot.
So it looks from the trailer like it's like the T-Birds wouldn't allow girls in.
Right.
So they're like, fuck you, we're going to make our own gang.
Right.
And they make the Pink Ladies.
Yes.
And it looks like it's about like others.
Yes.
And it's like, it looks like there's like a queer girl, there's like a black girl.
Yeah, there's a thing that, the point of the trailer where one of the T-Birds is like, oh, look, it's the girl gang. Ooh.
Yeah, so I love that. Although it's weird because it's like, and then they lost all that progress 2 years later when Grease happened.
Right.
And it looks about like prequels. It's a musical. Yeah. Yeah, I hope it's good.
It looks good.
It's one of those, you ever like, it's one of those things where it's like, if I were 12,
yeah,
I'd be losing my mind. But now I'm like, I'm a jaded adult. So I'm like, oh, it could really be bad. But like I loved Grease as right. a kid. So if this had come out when I was a kid, I'd be losing my mind.
But also when you were a kid,
it wouldn't be made
were,
like this.
There were, yeah. When you were a kid, there were new ideas once in a while. Yeah. Like now it's like, you know what I mean? I mean, we can't. It's even cliche to belabor the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah. Nothing. There's nothing that shocks you. That's like, oh wow, they're doing a new Night Court. Of course they are.
Of course they are. Yeah. Even though the entire cast is dead, every last one.
I'm watching. I've been watching the new Night Court.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's all about John Larroquette. That's all you need.
Does it still have the theme?
Yes.
Of course,
but it's very, very truncated.
Oh, why?
Because you can't do a 3-minute opening in 2023.
Honestly, the Night Court theme slaps so hard. It like is. They didn't have to go that hard.
They didn't, but they
it's
did.
It's such a good.
Okay, so
can I? Sorry, pause for a second.
Sure.
Is there a Night Court?
Is there any veracity to the whole idea?
Yeah. Is there?
I don't know if it's called Night Court, but it's arraignment court. It's where you go.
Right.
And but they just tell you, like, it's not really a trial.
I just don't think of courts as, like, shift work. Where right. It's like, oh, I'm the judge on the night shift. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, that makes some sense. I mean, you've got to do something with criminals.
I guess in a big who city.
Get they get arrested at night.
It's like a bunch of prostitutes always, like wisecracking prostitutes.
Right, right. Stuff, so right? And weirdos.
All right, maybe I'll watch.
I like it. John Larroquette was the prosecutor in the original, but he's the public defender in the new one.
Ooh, what a twist fun. to make his character like
have to be good and defend woke. People. All right. Enough of your shit.
Sorry.
What?
All right. Let's do Escape from New York.
Please.
Because this is the one I knew literally the least about.
I can't wait.
I know nothing about it other than Kurt Russell's in it.
Sure.
And the poster.
Yes.
And he has an eye patch.
You're right. It's good. So far, very
so
good.
So this is Escape from New York. The year is 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in, well, I know from the poster it takes place in 1997 mm-hmm. or something.
The far off future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Kurt Russell is an everyman. Living in the suburbs of Long Island.
Okay.
Picket fence, beautiful wife, kids. I wrote, but but the taxes and the property taxes are crazy.
Yeah.
So he wants to escape from New York.
Okay.
And there's the title. And I sure. put a little trademark next to it. So that's his dream. He wants to take his family and get away.
So it's more metaphoric.
Yeah.
It's more figurative.
For now. Escape. Yeah. So he wants to go west with his family. Right. Move him to maybe Arizona or someplace.
Yes, of course.
Someplace where it's warm.
Go west, y'all.
Yeah. But then... now, see, this bit is fuzzy because I lost the thread here. But hold on. So I wrote, he gets in a car accident.
Okay.
With his wife and his family.
A lot of setup for this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of setup.
And they all die but him, and he loses his eye. Mm-hmm. Okay, cut to a year later. He's depressed. He's miserable. He's got like that brooding.
Yeah.
My whole family, everybody was taking from me. I have nothing left. So he says, my lady and my liberty have been taken from me. So I'm going to take... Oh, and he gets into a car accident because of the roads in New York are horrible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He really has a vendetta against the state of New York is how I heard it.
Okay.
So he says, they took my lady and my liberty, so I'm going to take their lady liberty.
Whoa. So you're working backwards from the poster.
Cut to a montage of him, like his planning to blow up the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
And punish New York for what they've done to him.
Okay.
Maybe the governor's a character. I don't know. We can work that out later.
Sure.
So later on, he's right about to to blow up the Statue of Liberty, yeah. and he gets a call on his, I guess he has a cell phone.
Sure, why not?
It's his wife.
What?
She says, I'm still, now here's where I lost the thread. She says, I'm still alive, I faked my death.
Okay.
But he was there, I'm now realizing, so I don't know how she did that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think you could forgive me for allowing the kids to die. But I'm back, and I'm ready to escape from New York with you. But so he's like, titular oh, okay. line. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Hey, let's escape from New York.
So he's like, oh, I got to stop the detonator. The Statue of Liberty is about to blow. He can't stop the detonator. The Statue of Liberty blows up. The head of the Statue of Liberty lands on his wife.
Oh, wow.
And kills her for real this time. Yeah. So then he goes to prison.
Yeah.
And that's how he finally escapes from New York.
I see.
He got what he wanted, but at what cost?
Well, you're... Wow. Your version, I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, you're like at a 1. You're very far. For, your version's very tragic, and he becomes a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got that look.
Okay. So, Escape from New York is about a dystopian sci-fi future mm-hmm. where crime is so bad in America... They decide to make all of New York a prison and border it off. So no one can go in or out of New York unless you are being sentenced to live there.
Hmm.
Terrorists, there are terrorists.
Okay.
Hijack Air Force One and take the president into New York. So someone has to go into...
Who's the president?
He's played by Donald Pleasance from Halloween.
Oh. Is this John Carpenter?
Yes, it's directed by John Carpenter.
Oh, I thought I knew that. Okay. So, I think I did know that, but I forgot.
So they need somebody to go into New York and try to save the president before whatever he's God, killed.
Donald Pleasance as the president is like really giving Biden vibes. why did they choose New York City?
It's New York City.
Why did they choose New York City?
Just because it's cool to escape from New York. Like, you would never take a major metropolitan city yeah. and turn that into the penal colony.
Right.
You would do it in, like Fire Island.
Or like, any of the ton of space we have out right. west that's, right. like, not inhabited.
Right. So, Snake Plissken he's just an architect.
Go back a second.
Sure.
What's his name?
Snake Plissken.
Is that his Christian name? Was he born with that?
I think maybe Plissken.
Snake.
He has a very sexy snake tattoo on his torso.
Well, he was a dreamboat when this movie came out. Was it 1981?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'll
look it up. You are right about it being 1997.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's on the poster.
I guess I didn't repass that on the poster.
No, 1981. You were right.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We don't know how he lost his eye. We don't know anything about him. He's kind of based on like the Man with No Name cowboy thing. Like, we just know he's a badass and that he's done a bunch of shit.
It possible that maybe he got that way because his family was killed?
Like, I think it's, of course it's possible.
Like a Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon kind of thing.
Of course
thing.
It's possible. Mm. And he's like an anti-hero. He doesn't want to do it, but they're like, hey, we'll shave. Because he's also in jail for something. They're like, oh, we'll shave. It's like Suicide Squad.
So he's already there.
No, he's in a different jail.
Okay.
They're like, you're an old war hero, but now you're a criminal. But we're going to give you a chance. We'll shave time off of your sentence if you go and save the president. And he's like, I'll do it. And then he goes in and he lands on the Twin Towers. Yikes.
Ooh, wow.
And takes the elevator down. And then it's pretty cool and atmospheric. All of New York is like just fucking garbage and marauders.
I'm sure that's just like it was born out of the 80s in
yeah,
New York.
Yeah. What do you think?
So the president has to escape from New York.
Well, he's got to get in, get the president, and escape. And he's got 24 hours to do it, or a bomb they implanted in his neck will go off and Snake will die.
All right. Okay.
Like you do. What do you think the sequel Escape from L.A. is about?
You know, I totally forgot until you just said it that there's the sequel Escape from L.A. Based on what you just told me?
No, never mind.
The same thing, no? Is L.A. also a giant?
Yes, it is prison? A giant. Yeah. Well, you're correct in saying it's the exact same movie. Why? Except at one point he surfs.
Is that a 90s movie?
Yeah.
Is it John Carpenter?
Yes. It's not very good. It's not
yeah,
very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't sound it.
No. So you were way off on that.
All right. I know I'm going to be way off in Avengers.
Okay, let's do Funny Girl. A young Jewish woman with big dreams moves into the big city to break into show business. I'm not sure if it's movies or theater or both. She meets a producer who's like sexy and charming at first, and then like he fucks her over either like in business or like cheats on her or something. Mm-hmm. She sings a song about how she's not pretty, but she's funny. She's a funny girl. She has two worrying parents who call her a lot, and they're like, they want to know what she's doing, and they're like these tight two shots of them on the phone, and one of them's like over the shoulder like, is she eating enough? Is she wearing a coat? She becomes best friends with a streetwise sex worker who also, she came also to the big city to be an actress, but life has beat her down.
Played by whom in your, in this version?
Jodie Foster. In the end, in the end, there is a big audition and she lands it. I'm imagining it as, okay, so I'm realizing now that I've weaved in a lot of chorus line and cabaret.
No, you've waved in, you've also, you've weaved in Taxi Driver.
Yes.
And Flash Dance.
Yes.
With the big audition at the end.
Yes.
That she gets.
Yes. How close?
Not very close at all. So.
There's no song that's like, I'm a funny gal.
There's definitely the thing of like, because it's Barbara Streisand and everything Barbara Streisand's ever in has that like, I'm funny, but I'm not beautiful thing.
Okay, yeah.
But so Funny Girl is a 1968 film.
Oh, okay. It was a little late.
Based on a musical of the same name starring Barbara Streisand. Mm-hmm. It's historical. It's based on a real person.
Okay.
Yeah, it's based on Fanny Bryce.
No idea.
Yeah, so, and it takes place, it's like, well, it starts around World War One, and then the rest of it's told in flashbacks. So it takes place well before, it's like vaudevillian.
Wow. I thought it was like in the 70s.
No, it's very vaudevillian. Like she was a vaudeville star.
Okay.
And so in your version, like where would...
Yeah.
Don't tell me not to live. Just sit. Where would that go? When she's going, first of all, when she's moving to the big city.
I didn't remember that song was in it. But
don't rain on my parade.
It's a musical. She just does it in the sing. Just does it anywhere.
Fair. What you do kind of get right is that she has a he's not a producer. But she meets Nicky Arnstein, who is a real person, who is one of Fanny Bryce's husbands. And that's when she says, "Hey, Mr. Arnstein." Fanny Bryce was a vaudevillian comedian.
Oh, okay.
And sing. So she's dying to be in show business. So you got that part right.
Nice.
She's cast, and then it's like all beautiful girls in the chorus.
Oh, okay.
But she's like, my thing is I'm funny.
Right.
And then
I'm a funny girl.
Yeah. So that's kind of right. Actually, you're pretty close.
What about the streetwise sex worker?
No, there is no streetwise sex worker.
All right.
So then she gets laughs because she improvs during the performance.
So she creates comedy.
Yeah. And it's like a, who's like a big vaudevillian guy? Let me find his name.
Well, I can tell you.
Oh, Mr. Ziegfeld.
Okay.
The Ziegfeld Follies. She like does something that she's not supposed to do and gets laughs.
Yeah.
And then he's like, The someone's like, you're Fanny, we gave you a chance and you fucked it up. And then Ziegfeld's like, the crowd loves it. And so then she becomes like a star who's funny.
Is she like a comedian?
Or she's like... she does like funny songs.
Okay.
And then she meets Nicky Arnstein, who was a, I don't know if he ever becomes a producer, but they get married. She has the whole thing of like, you're so handsome, why are you interested in me? And he's like, because I've never met anyone like you. And
is there a part
it's Omar Sharif.
Is there a part where her manager's like, I put this stool on the, we got to sit in this stool. Everyone sits in the stool. And she's like, I'm not a sit down comedian, I'm a stand up comedian. And everyone's like, whoa.
Absolutely not. She's not a stand up comedian.
She created it.
She created stand up comedy.
They do say that a vaudevillian created stand-up comedy. Mom's Mabley.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't Fanny Bryce. Oh, wait, no. This is an angry Ziegfeld wants to fire Fanny Bryce, not Franny. But the audience loves the hilarious act. He tells her to play it that way in every performance.
Is she Jewish, or did I just say that because I know Barbara Streisand is Jewish?
I think she's Jewish. Oh, maybe she's not. Actually, I've never actually thought about that.
Oh, boy.
Maybe she is.
Oh, I'm canceled.
Was Fanny Jewish?
Am I canceled for that? Are you allowed to make suppositions?
She was born. So the thing about, oh no, she's Jewish. She was Jewish Hungarian. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
She moved to the United States at the age of 10, and she always lived in New York City. So that's why it's funny that you're like, she dreams of being in the
right.
She's like a New York City gal.
And Beanie Feldstein couldn't pull this off?
No. No, God, no.
And then, Lea Michele
so,
can? Oh,
so Nicky Arnstein ends up, he's a, her husband, and then he's a big gambler, and he goes to jail. So
okay,
that's where it
okay.
ends.
So
and then there's a sequel,
close.
Funny Lady, with
well, I've never heard of that
James
ever, so
Caan
it can't be good.
as her second husband. And Omar Sharif comes back in like a small role as the first husband.
Oh, and Barbara's in that
And Barbara's
as well?
In it, yeah.
Was that also a show or just a movie?
It was just a movie.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, no. As much as I love Beanie,
yeah,
I've seen the receipts. I've seen the footage.
Yeah.
And Lea Michele is way better.
Yeah.
Because Beanie can't really sing.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That'll be a problem.
yeah.
So,
so that's an interesting take on Funny Girl.
I was... Okay, where I was really wrong was the era. I was way in the wrong era. I was thinking like Bright Lights, Broadway.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I guess you were thinking that because it was a Broadway show.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, she was a vaudeville star.
What other actors are in this movie?
Omar Sharif.
Yeah.
Who else would you... Walter Pidgeon plays Ziegfeld.
Is...
No
Paul
one else
Newman did. In this?
No.
What about the other handsome guy?
Which one?
Not Paul
Newman.
So Omar
Sharif was pretty hot.
Not Paul Newman, the other one.
Oh, like Robert Redford?
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of The Way We Were.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What do you think The Way We Were was about?
That's about...
It's the same plot, except for Robert Redford.
Streetwise sex worker.
Another movie that also takes place during the 40s. And I bet you didn't know that.
Nah, no idea. I remember that. I have a very distinct memory of that movie because I learned it was on. I didn't watch it, but I saw the very end of it. And it was on TV and I was a little kid. And mom was like, oh, that's such a good movie. And I was like, I don't understand. If they love each other, why aren't they together? And mom was like, sometimes in life, you can't be with the person you love.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what?
oh, my God.
It's like life can be bad like
what
that?
A deep. What a moment. That really imprinted on you.
I learned so much about the world in one moment.
Wow, that's a core memory.
It absolutely is a core memory.
I can't believe
the
way
little, like, marble went down. And
did she deliver that with sensitivity or just bluntly like that?
I don't remember. Probably sensitivity.
listen, sometimes you can't be with the person you love. What can I
then she walked out of the room. then I never saw my mom again.
yeah, that was the last time we saw her. Thanks, Mike.
okay.
So I have... All right, this last one's going to be ridiculous because I refuse... My brain...
By the way, we're talking about the most successful movie in the history of movies.
Which is such a spit in the face to art that this is the most successful movie in the history of movies. I can't even wrap my brain around... Who
you
could,
saw the first part of it.
Who could give a shit?
you saw part one.
I saw 10 when I tell you that I was willing myself to sleep during part one, and I fell asleep and woke up and turned to you and said, is it almost over? And you said, it's been 10 minutes.
and that's like a 4-hour movie.
Good God.
See, I find that I was like that with the last Black Panther movie. I was like, I'm just...
Really? Is that the one that people like?
Yeah, but... I don't know. People think that's
he wasn't
like,
in it.
People think like that's the classy Marvel movie. But they're all the same boring shit.
Yeah.
But I actually like this one because it's at least fun. There's fun things happening.
How many hours is it? What is the clock
like
in at?
Three and something.
God almighty. Was it fucking Gone with the Wind? so I have this I'm just going to own that I just totally just was fucking okay. Making it up as I was going.
No, this movie's what? 4 years old or something?
I wasn't even trying to make anything that made sense.
Don't you have any young people in your life that have talked about it? It just blows my mind how little you can know about the most successful movie.
My brain shuts off when anybody talks about it. and right. I don't think I have any friends who like it.
Okay. Tell me about it.
I guess we run in different circles.
I suppose we do.
So all the Avengers get together to fight Thanos, who has a bunch of jewels in his Michael Jackson glove that makes people turn to sand.
okay.
That's where it starts.
You're pretty close okay. so far.
So then I have Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister has a plan to seduce Thanos and steal all the jewels from his glove after he falls asleep. At this point, we've already lost the X-Men, Spider-Man, and the Guardians of the Galaxy to sand.
Okay. X-Men are not in it at all.
Are they Marvel? They're Marvel, are they?
They're
not?
Marvel, but they weren't owned by Sony. Ooh. So they're owned by Sony, not by Marvel. That complicates Marvel.
Things. So she's seducing him while they're having sex.
Oh, okay.
As he's climaxing.
All right. You did not think that this was in this movie.
He reaches up and chokes her with
you think this is the most successful movie.
He reaches up.
Everybody and their grandma saw this movie and there's people fucking
and chokes her with the glove. And turns her to sand.
That's his power. He just turns people to sand.
Yeah, yeah. Cut to Captain America hanging out with Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm.
That's DC. Now,
now they have a plan.
Okay.
They're going to send a million nukes to Thanos' mountain that he lives in.
You're right.
Does he live in a mountain?
No.
Oh, all right. And blow it up, because if the jewels are destroyed, yes, all the sand people come back.
Jewels.
The Hulk and Iron Man and Thor? Question mark?
Yeah, those are all okay. Avengers.
Thor is a Norse mythological god. Yes. Why is he in a superhero movie?
Because he's one of the Avengers.
Oh, boy. Just sort of walk in and are all good with the plan.
Yeah. So they just sort of walk in.
So they call...
It's very breezy.
Yeah. So they call the president, played by Morgan Freeman, and they say they need all of his nukes pointed at the mountain range. Mm-hmm. The movie meanders for 6 hours until the rockets are launched at the mountains and they all blow up. Everyone's celebrating. Batman is there.
What? You know Batman's not there. Where's Spider-Man?
But, I don't know.
You didn't think about that?
No, I didn't. All right. There's no sand people.
Yeah.
How could that be if they destroyed the mountain? Green Lantern goes into the ruins and discovers the glove is still intact. The mission has failed. But then he puts it on, wishes everyone back to life. Mm-hmm. All the sand people come back. Robert Downey Jr. and Don Cheadle are there. Robert Downey Jr. screams about how we're not going to discuss his past. The end.
Okay. All right. Well, you weaved into that a little bit of that interview where he walked out.
How close am I?
How close?
I bet I'm pretty fucking close.
In terms of plot, you're not really close at all. But
I'm sure it meandered for 6 hours.
In terms of story, it does end by the people coming back.
Okay.
Okay. So
no stakes then. So no one is.
Here's what the plot is. The first movie ends with Thanos wants to get rid of half life in the galaxy. Why can't he use magic to give us half as more food or make half as more space? Who knows? He uses his magic. They're called the Infinity Stones on the glove. He uses that to snap his finger and then half the people die.
And he is played by... what's his face?
Brolin.
Okay.
Josh Brolin?
Okay.
James Brolin.
One of them.
It's Josh Brolin. James Brolin was Marcus Welby. The movie they were talking about begins 5 years after that, and the world has gone on with half the people.
5 years.
And everybody's sad.
So his power is to make half of life disappear?
That's not his power. He's just a big, strong guy. He steals the stones and gets the glove
Where do these jewels come from?
They're scattered throughout all the other movies. Like in Guardians of the Galaxy, remember there's a jewel in that. That's one of them.
Vaguely. Okay. The first one?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't care for the second one, but go on.
Neither did I. So they come up with a plot. Oh, Ant-Man. Ant-Man, who could go so small he could go into the quantum realm like that new movie. He realizes that time is different down there and you can go back in time. So they invent time travel. They just invent it in this movie. And they realize that all they have, the way they could go back in time and stop him, but also go back in time and get all the stones from different movies. So we get to Back to the Future 2 and see a lot of the other Marvel movies from different perspectives.
With the Ant-Man running around in the background?
Well, he's the one who just comes up with that they could do it, but they all go back in time to different time periods. And then
wouldn't it be funny if, like, at one point they just show up, like, in a Golden Girls episode?
Yes.
And, like, it's just like a clip show.
And then in the end, Iron Man gets the glove and he snaps his fingers and brings everybody back to life, but it's too powerful and he dies.
Oh, so sort of like what I had.
And he stayed dead. Green Lantern hasn't come back to life.
So he brought everybody back but died in doing so?
Yeah, because the glove was too powerful. The Hulk was supposed to do it because he was more powerful, but for some reason he didn't do it.
Why?
I don't remember. Contrivance. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right.
And none of the DC folks are there. Harley Quinn, Green Lantern, Batman.
I thought it was. I thought they had. It was more all encompassing.
That's we're like 2 seconds away from that.
I'm sure we are.
You know what I mean?
Who is Mary Kate and Ashley's sister?
Scarlet Witch.
Okay, she's a witch.
Yeah. Well, she's got. Yeah, she's got witchy powers. Okay. She's the daughter of Magneto from X-Men, but not in the Marvel movies because they can't say Magneto.
That's so confusing. I watched like 3 episodes of WandaVision.
That's her show.
Yeah, and I couldn't follow.
I can't imagine how you would.
No,
couldn't her follow. Her husband is like a cyborg guy.
I didn't. Yeah.
The most successful movie of all time.
History of movies. Honestly, though, doesn't it hurt you?
So is Avatar.
That's the most... Oh, yeah. Have you seen the second Avatar?
I haven't seen the first one. Never seen Avatar.
You never saw Avatar?
I tried to watch it a few years ago. I found it boring. Turned it off.
Now this is on principle.
What were you going to say? Does it insult me? What, as someone who loves cinema?
Yeah, that's Sinise? The most successful movie ever?
No, I really disagree with, like...
Well, I guess value as based on how much money it makes is not...
No, I disagree that movie can't be spectacle. That it must be on... the dramatic level of literature.
I totally agree.
As spectacle. To me, my problem is always...
I just think it's not good.
Well, my problem has always been it takes up too much air. Why can't half the movies be superhero movies and the other half be dramas and rom-coms and everything? It's not that. It's just in the theater, all you have is superhero movies. Once in a while, you'll get a Star Wars movie or a King Kong movie or something.
Yeah.
And then rom-coms go straight to Netflix.
Yeah, I hate it.
Dramas... I hate it. Don't really happen. They're either little foreign dramas, or they just become streaming series dramas, like an AMC series or a Netflix series.
Well, it's like this thing of like, haven't you felt like over the past 10 years, like you never know what the movies are that are nominated for Oscars anymore?
Right.
And I always wonder, like, why don't I know these movies anymore? And it's like, because they're not in theaters anymore.
Right. They barely come out.
Yeah.
And the Oscars doesn't want... they've been trying to like figure out a way to get more popular movies in, but
I saw a bunch of people were like flexing in their tweets about the second Avatar. Like a lot of fanboys came out were like, imagine betting against James Cameron, who's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
You know, James Cameron is somebody. Like, I like Terminator 2.
I like Titanic.
I suppose
I'm going to go on record and say...
I haven't seen it in so many years, but I liked it when I saw it.
Yeah, I like it. I think it gets a bad rap. I think it's still a good movie.
I don't... To me, he's not upper echelon auteur the way some people seem to think of him as.
They do think of him as that.
Not for me.
I guess because of Terminator. But Terminator is such a... it's such an inconsistent franchise.
Well, the two good ones are the two he did.
Yeah.
The rest are not, he's not involved.
I mean, 3 is horrible.
Right, he's not involved in 3 at all.
Yeah.
He did True Lies, I like that. I liked a lot of his like action stuff.
True Lies is a good movie.
He got super obsessed with water and the ocean.
Oh boy. Did he make Waterworld?
No. But he made like that documentary about going down to the Titanic and...
Oh, yeah.
And then this Avatar is all about water.
The way of water. I'll tell you.
That ride, though, is great. One of the best rides in Disney World.
I didn't
World.
Make it to that because the line was like 3 hours long, but we got screwed. You know how like anytime there's a minor inconvenience at Disney World, they're like, here's a fast pass to something shitty. Yeah. They gave us fast passes to like the other, like the Navi River cruise.
Well, but no, can't you? Fast passes you aren't assigned to anything. You can use
them
however
you want. It was literally like paper tickets. And it was like,
oh, really? Wow.
This is for this.
We
go
got
at this
fast
time.
Passes on our phones, like on our apps. Because what do we have? Oh, because they delivered our bags late, and Jen couldn't take her medicine for her asthma.
Right.
So we complained.
And you got
They gave us 3 extra fast passes for the 2 extra days we were there.
Oh, that's cool. No, they gave us a specific. I don't know if it was on paper, but I know that. It was specifically like for that ride.
Interesting.
Maybe because nobody else is going on.
Did you do the Navi River journey?
That's what it was.
Did you do it?
Yeah, it was super boring.
Yeah, it's more vibe than a ride.
Yeah, I was just like, this is fucking boring.
It's weird. It's a weird juxtaposition because the other one's so thrilling and it's just nothing.
It's just like a weird dark ride.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so very off on that one. All right. So the last one is Sex and the City 2.
Now, you've seen everything else of Sex and the City except for this one.
Yes, this is the only thing I haven't seen. I've seen the whole series. I've seen the new series. I saw the first film. I did not see the Carrie Diaries.
No.
I did not
read the book. Carrie Diaries is canon anymore.
Okay. Was it ever, though?
Well, it's Candace Bushnell.
Was it really?
Yeah, she wrote it.
Oh, I thought she, like, licensed it to somebody.
No, she wrote the book.
No, so there's a little bit of cheating this because I saw the beginning of this, which is the wedding of the only two gay characters.
Of course.
So they must marry each other.
Yes, yes, yes.
And because they're gay, Liza Minnelli, by law, has to show up at all gay weddings. So Liza Minnelli's
there. Well, that's one of the jokes in the movie.
Right.
You saw the beginning and shut it off, or?
I think I had something better to do.
Well, everybody has something better to do than watch Sex and the City 2.
I do remember thinking, because
it is honestly one of the worst movies.
The beginning with the wedding is so lavish. It looks like a fucking, like, MGM musical. I was like, what is this?
There's the gay man's choir there. Like,
what is happening? And the other thing I know happens is at some point, very sensitive, these women, like, Middle Eastern women pick up their traditional garb and underneath they have, like, designer shoes.
Designer.
We're all the same. Designer outfits. Aren't we all the same?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody cares about designer shoes. But everything else, I have no idea. Oh, I know that Aiden's in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so here's what I think it's about.
Okay.
Okay. So the two gay characters get married. Carrie's boss is like, hey, I want you to go to the Middle East and write about how women there are oppressed or something. Samantha's like, I actually have some illegal property in the Middle East that I hide my money in. I'll go with you. And then the other two just
commentary.
Go. And then the other two just go because they hate their husbands. Uh-huh. They get there and everybody is different, but not too different because they like the other designer shoes. At some point, Samantha's on a camel and she makes some pun about how the camel has two humps and she has two boobs.
No, but what a great joke that would have been.
Charlotte hates it, but makes friends with some unlikely person like a cab driver or a maid or something. Aiden is there building houses for Habitat for Humanity. And he like goes on a date with Carrie, but he's like, psych, I have a family. And then they all go back to New York having learned a lot.
Wow.
How close am I?
You know what? You're not too far off. So, yes, the two gay characters get married. No, it has no bearing on any of the rest of the plot. Like,
okay.
It just happens for no reason. Carrie and Big are married now, and she feels that they've fallen into a rut.
Yeah.
And the spark is gone, and he just wants to watch TV.
Yeah.
All the time and order in and never go out and do things.
Well, that's what gave him a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, we got to get out of the city. I need a vacation. And Samantha's like, I know a sheik who can set us up.
Yeah. All right, so I was close. And yeah, yeah. Samantha had some sort of weird connection to the Middle East.
So she's like, we're all going to go. Samantha does make a ridiculous joke on a camel. Not on a camel.
Really?
But after they ride the camels, she sees like a hot guy riding around in like a Jeep.
Yeah.
And
she's like, I'll hump him.
And she's like, ooh, I want to have sex with him. And then she calls him Lawrence of my labia.
Oh, it's really, that's a real stretch.
It's horrible.
What if by the end it was just so lazy with no puns? She just look at guys and be like, I want to have sex with him. Ooh, look at that guy. I want to have sex with him.
At one point they stare in a... They're in a karaoke bar and they sing "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." It's one of the worst movies ever made.
It sounds. I'm not even. It's Muslim, and I'm offended.
I'm a fan, obviously, and it's so bad I can't defend it. It's also your version is way less insensitive than the real one. There, so Samantha like gets in trouble. She gets arrested because she's having sex on the beach, which is illegal.
Oh boy!
And they like come to her they come to rescue her, and the sheik like kicks them out because they've disgraced themselves. And then they're like out at the market.
What the fuck?
Oh, by the way, she runs into Aiden at the spice market. He's
Sex
like,
in the
he's
City.
He's buying textiles for his like furniture store. She's like, fuck, I want to hang out with him because I'm mad at Big. They do go out. They kiss.
Oh, wow.
But then she like gets freaked out and runs away. And that's the last time you see him.
Okay. But is he like, psych, I have kids? I have a family?
He does have kids. And she kisses him anyway because she's fucking crazy.
You
Carrie.
Think his wife is dead in the new show?
I think so. I think his wife is going to be dead. Yeah. Oh, no, actually.
The new show also was mostly about death.
Because her husband is dead. I think he's probably going to be divorced or something.
Okay.
So the crazy insensitive stuff that you miss is then later, like, Samantha's frustrated with the oppression.
Oh, God.
And they're, like, walking through the spice market. And she, like, drops her bags and a bunch of condoms fall out. And a bunch of men, like, start, like, screaming and cursing at her that she's, like, a whore. And then she gets fed up and she screams at them, like, I have sex and I love it. And, like, people, like, throwing stones at her, basically.
Oh, my God.
And then the women have to hide. So another woman in a burqa is like, come with us, and like takes them into a room and shows them that they're wearing all the designer shit. So they bond over materialism.
Sure.
And then they're like, here, take our burqas to escape. And they escape. Oh. The four of them escape wearing burqas.
So it's like the fucking Death Star.
It's a disguise. It's the most horrible. And then
they beat up four stormtroopers and steal their uniforms.
And this, none of this, may God strike me. By the way, you can be lying. I'm dying.
No,
this is really happening. This happened. And then they come home, and Big and Carrie make up. Big gives her a diamond ring, and that's the end of the movie.
Materialism wins over.
Yeah, because in the first movie, he never got her a diamond ring.
Wow. God damn. In like the like. Let's throw a dart at a board with plots. How is this the one that they went with?
Well, because
how?
So Michael Patrick King, who I've said before, I'll say it again, every impulse he has is wrong. He shouldn't be the Sex and City auteur. I think he took that for himself, and nobody has stopped him. But the original idea for the first movie was that it was going to be like a road comedy. But then that But then that got shelved in favor of like a more dramatic plot.
You mean so like then, doing a real movie?
Yeah. So then
they were like, hey guys, want to just do like a real movie?
So then the second for the sequel, he was like, let's do that road comedy idea. So that's, and then somebody was like, let's do the Middle East. And he was like, fabulous.
So even if you're like, okay, let's do the road comedy idea. Then the Middle East.
It's so,
and you know, well, they were patting themselves on the back like, this is so important what we're doing.
Well, no, because I think, yeah, I think that it was like, oh, it's so great, like these women are so open about sex, what setting can we put them in that's gonna be really funny? So they're like, how about the Middle East? It's so insensitive.
Yikes.
It's horrible.
Yikes.
It is true. Have you ever heard, there's like a podcast that's called like The Worst Idea Ever.
Yeah.
And every season they just watch a movie over and over again and talk about it.
Oh, yeah, I have heard
of
this. And
the first one was Grown Ups, and then the second season was Sex and the City 2.
That's amazing. I kind of want to see it now because I can't believe what you're saying to me.
It's so horrible.
So Aiden's not building houses.
No.
Habitat for Humanity. He's just,
she really
there.
Fucks him over good, too. She's like,
well, that's their whole history.
She's
together.
Like, let me flirt with you, even though I know you're married, because I'm a selfish bitch. And then kiss me, and then I'm going to run away and leave you at this bar.
Well, that's what he's used to from her.
That's what he's used to from her.
He's a real cuck.
So what have we learned from this?
Oh, God, I don't know if we've learned anything. Are there any movies, like, besides the Marvel movies, that you haven't seen and you're almost proud of it? You're like, I will never, you like, you could say right now, hand to God, I will never see whatever.
I don't know about movies, but that's how I feel about Game of Thrones.
Never gonna happen.
I don't think I will ever watch it. Okay. Because so many people have told me I would love it.
Have they? Yes. Don't think you would. I absolutely don't think you would.
And it makes me mad that people tell me I would.
No, they don't know you. You would not love it. You would not love it at all. With movies,
people are always like, you of all people would love
what?
It. I'm like, why? I don't know where they're getting that from.
I don't know where they're getting that from either.
These people don't know me.
Huh.
I mean, does it have...
There's some like bitchy queens. You know what I mean? Like, there's some bad bitches in it, you know?
Everybody's selling line is like, it's not what you think it is. It's not fantasy. It's a political drama. It's like...
Yeah, but then there's dragons.
Yeah, of course. Like, stop trying to tell me it's not what it is.
It's like Lord of the Rings, but with a lot more rape and murder.
And incest. Sexy incest. Lord of the Rings is another one that I just... tried.
Not gonna happen.
I've tried. It's not gonna happen. How about you? Are there any movies that you know or shows you're like, I'm never gonna see?
Well, I'm kind of gonna keep going with the Avatar thing.
Okay.
And I know there's 900 more coming, and I'm never gonna,
I thought there's only
it.
One more coming.
No, there's way more coming, and I'm never gonna watch it. Never gonna fucking watch it. With books,
Infinite Jest.
I tried to listen to an audiobook of it, and that was indecipherable for me. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Maybe Moby Dick. I don't know. But maybe at some point when I'm old, I'll be like, it's time to read Moby Dick. and then I'll die when I finish it. But you know, you can't see everything. You shouldn't see everything. You know, I mean, I no longer, when I was younger, I was like, I gotta see everything. But now I no longer have the time to see. I'll push myself to see things I wouldn't just so I could expand my horizons. But I'm not out there forcing myself to watch something just because it's popular or because, you know.
And life's too short to read bad books and to watch bad movies. Yeah.
I'm like a fan of like, I'll read like, I've read a few pages of 50 Shades of Grey. I watched like 10 minutes of Riverdale. Like I'll take a little, I'll get a taste to be like, okay, I got a little taste. I have some.
That's what I do. On. And then invariably you always talk to somebody who's like, oh, you didn't wait till it got good.
You know what?
That's how I felt about Wednesday. Like, you know, I watched the first episode and a half of Wednesday and I was like, I get it. I don't want to watch this anymore.
It never gets that good. It's all right. It's fine. Like, I don't know. I honestly,
that's how I felt about Stranger Things.
That one blew me away because I don't understand. I guess it's because I'm so old. But I don't understand how young people like
love it.
Yeah, they flocked to it in a way that I would never have guessed. I thought it was just going to be corny to them and no one was going to like it. And it's like a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's like the most successful series on Netflix, right?
Yeah. By the way, I hope Jenna Ortega is the killer in Scream 6. That would be
that Scream 6 is one big prank and we get there and it's like, actually, this isn't the movie.
I tell you what, I wouldn't be. We're going to do Scream 6 in a few weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like 7 killers or 8 killers.
It doesn't. Oh man, I don't know what it is. I know this sounds so stupid, but I feel like the conceit is so ridiculous that I feel like there's a trick somewhere.
Well, I was telling you,
like they all moved to Manhattan. It just seems so silly.
I think they're on a trip.
No, it seems like they live there.
No, I don't think so. Gail, I think, lives there.
Well, Gail did live there.
I hope Gail dies. She's got to die, right, at this point?
Well, also, I'm really just pissed that Sydney's not in it.
I know. They didn't give her the money she deserved. But you know what? That's fine. Give more breathing room to fucking the new people.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I agree with you entirely about their some trick. This, it's going to be different. They keep saying it's going to be different. The ghost face looks different. It's in 3D and they keep they're selling that hard. And that makes me go, why the fuck is this movie in 3D? The last one was in 3D. It's not 2009. Not everything is in 3D anymore. Why is this in 3D? There's something there. And I'm all for it because as we said when we did the last Scream episode.
Just do something different.
Any fresher breath air.
Well,
Of fresh air.
I think it's interesting too. It's just like another example of how like now fan culture has so much power and influence that like in Scream 4, like Kirby dies. But so many people on the internet was like, you never see your body.
Right, right.
So she could be alive. And then it just manifested. Like, it just goes to show that, like, they're paying attention to, like, what people are tweeting.
Yo, absolutely they
are. And so they were like, oh, let's bring Kirby back.
This is, like, almost, I don't know.
And also, there's no finality to it. It really just feels like, we've gotten to the point of, like, we're just going to keep making these. So I hope you're ready.
Well, this new one.
There's no, like, this is the last time or whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's move on because we're going to do a whole episode on it. All right, well, this has been movies that we haven't seen that we tried to figure out what they're about.
But now I feel like I've seen them all.
I hope we all have. This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I was joined today by Anthony Bongiorno. Anthony, I'm a funny, funny gal.
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode by singing.
Go bye-bye.